reading to you from the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, and with the 12th verse. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 47 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been doing that ever since. I want these dates for you to remember. The 21st of July, my quartet, my wife and I will be at the Fremont Prison. July the 28th, we'll be at the Jefferson County Prison. August the 6th, I'll be at the Denver Rescue Mission. August 11th, we'll be at the Olney Springs Prison. August the 23rd, we'll be at Lyman. And September the 8th, we'll be at Los Animas. So write those dates down and be sure and pray for them. We had a wonderful time down in Ordway this last Sunday. There was about 15 men, I think it was, that gave their heart to Christ. And we had a full house. So we just had a wonderful time. Oh, friends, listen. I know that you say, Cecil, I get tired of you telling about the prisons. Please don't get tired of it, because we're seeing men and women saved, and that's what we're here for. Listen, I'll be with you for 29 minutes. Kick off your slipper, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of milk, iced tea, lemonade, or whatever you want, as long as it don't have alcohol, okay? You know, folks, a few years ago, quartet and my wife and I went to, I won't name the prison, we went to this prison for the first time, and I told the chaplain, I said, now, chaplain, when we come to the prison, the quartet sings a few songs, I get up and preach, and then I extend an invitation. Oh, he said, you don't have to do that here, because all of our inmates are Christians. And I said, well, that seems kind of unusual, but I never said another word. Well, we went down there, and the quartet, they sang, and I got up and preached. And when I got the message, I said, men, I want to extend you an invitation to come to Christ. 8 men came forward and gave their heart to Christ. Now, years ago, when I was a director of the rescue mission back in Youngstown, Ohio, we had a place where we had about 35 men staying. It used to be a motel, and the mission bought it. And they made rubber mats for horse trailers out of tires. It was quite an operation. But anyway, one of my board of directors said to me, Cecil, you know, all of our men out there that work out there are saved, born again. Well, I said, we'll see. I went out there and preached, and I gave an invitation, and there was not one man that would step forward and say, I know Jesus as Savior. So I don't take anybody's word for it. I want to give an invitation. When I get done preaching, I want to invite people to put their trust in Christ. Where would I be today had not Reverend Tom Baird, when I staggered into his house, drunk out of my mind, crying my heart out, and he sat there patiently, and then he proclaimed the third chapter of the Gospel of John, telling me that Jesus told Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Where would I be today if Tom Baird had not invited me to put my trust in Christ? Let's supposing I come to your house, and I'm a salesman, insurance salesman. I sit there and I tell you all the benefits of my insurance company, what they can do for you. And, you're getting excited. You're asking questions. Now I get up and I say, well, I sure appreciate you listening to me. Fold my book up and take off. You wanted to buy that policy. but I stupidly walked out and left you. Well, that's the way it is. There are many churches in our city and in the state who preach on Sunday morning and Sunday night and do not give an invitation for people to come and put their trust in Jesus. Now, I'm asking you, beloved, why would we preach? We preach for decisions. Billy Graham's had the Hour of Decision on radio for over 55 years. Thousands and thousands of people have put their trust in Christ because Billy Graham extended an invitation. The Bible tells us in Genesis 7:1, the Lord then said to Noah, go unto the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Now, God created heaven and earth, created everybody on this earth, Adam and Eve and on. But you know, there came a time when God saw the filth, the corruption in the world, and he decided that he would destroy all the people in the world because of their sin. Sodom and Gomorrah had the same experience. Beloved, if you look at the Bible, Sodom and Gomorrah, and look what's going on in America today, you'd say, wow, we're about ready to be destroyed. Well, I'm not saying that. But look at now they have a gay pride days, and these guys going out there dressing scantily, and they're bragging, walking up and saying, I'm proud, I'm gay, beloved. You know what they're doing? They're flaunting their sin before God. Am I mad at the homosexuals? Absolutely not. I'm not mad at them. I don't agree with their lifestyle, but God never made those people that way. Sin made them that way. They have yielded to sin. Do you think God made me an alcoholic? Absolutely not. I chose, of course, I never knew I was going to end up the way I did, but I chose to drink. And then it hooked me, and then I couldn't get off on it until I met the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Friends, I don't care what your problem is tonight. My Bible says that God stands with outstretched arms tonight, ready to receive you. You say, well, see, so my sins are too great. Well, why did he say, he that cometh unto me, I shall in no wise cast out? Anyway, here we see Noah and his family. He's told to build an ark. I still can't envision how in the world, without chainsaws, without anything, and they built that huge ark, 400 and some feet high, long and 55 feet wide or high. I don't know exactly the measurements, but I do know this. Noah went out and he preached every night, him and his sons. He gave an invitation telling them to come to the ark of safety, that someday there was going to be a great flood, and if they didn't repent, they were going to be destroyed. Well, of course, they went to their spiritual leaders, like the people go to Dalai Lama and some of those religions, and they said, what is this guy out here? He's building that strange-looking thing, what they call an ark, and he's telling us that unless we repent, we're going to be destroyed. The religious leaders said, oh, cut it out. You know that the heat's got to that buzzard. He is crazier than a bed bug. Well, a lot of people think we preachers are crazy as a bed bug because we invite you to come to Christ. You say, I'm okay. I go to the Catholic Church, or I'm okay. I'm a Muslim. You can be whatever you want to call yourself, but unless you've been born again, beloved, you're going to hell. No ifs, no ands, no buts. Well, he worked and he worked and his sons never. There came a time after about 100 years that the Lord said, well, Noah, you did your job. Now you get your animals two by two and you load up and we're going to have a rainstorm. Well, okay, so they loaded up and those people watched those elephants and those giraffes and zebras. What in the world is that guy doing? Well, you're going to find out, neighbor, in just a minute. And it began to rain. Now, they had never seen rain like that. In fact, I don't think they'd ever seen rain. And you know, in that sandy soil, my stars, it would have to take an awful lot of rain to start raising water. Now, The water came up to their ankles. Well, that's okay. The water came up to their knees. Now they begin to get nervous. They're going to run over to their spiritual leaders and find out what's going on. Now the water's up to their neck. And they begin to cry out, Noah, Noah, we're willing to receive your message now. It's too late now. It is already. It's like when you go to a train station and you're late. Well, the train pulls out and you're not going to make that train. Well, here's what happened. The Bible says when that old ark began to float that God himself closed the door. That was the end of salvation for those people. They had their opportunity for over 100 years. See, God never lets people go to hell unless he lets them hear first how to get to heaven. It's not God's will that any man should perish. He came in the world to save sinners, not to destroy them. Well, okay. Now, there was an invitation those men and women will never forget as long as they live, but it was too late. The Bible tells us in Numbers 10:29, Now Moses said to Hobab, son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, We are setting out for the place about which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come with us, and we will treat you well, for the Lord has promised good things to Israel. Beloved, listen. I want you to know I love the Jewish people, but the Jewish people turned their back on Jesus. That is exactly why everything is going haywire in Israel today. Because they would not accept Jesus. Now, you talk to Jewish people about Jesus and they'll get upset and uptight because they're waiting for him to come. Well, God promised good things to Israel, but Israel rejected the Son of God. In Isaiah 1:18, Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. What he's saying to you tonight, friend, come, I will personally wash away your sins. I will write your name in the Lamb Book of Life. I will cast your sins into a sea of forgetfulness, never, never, never to be remembered again. Now, here's something. As a baby Christian, I learned the hard way. I was praying one night as a baby Christian, and all of a sudden, a sin that I'd committed a long time ago come before my very thoughts. And I was devastated. And I went to my pastor and I said, What in the world? He said, Cecil, don't you know who brought that up? I said, No. He said, The devil. He's an accuser. He said, Did God say, I will throw your sins into a sea of forgetfulness for a few days and then bring them back? He said, Never, never to be remembered again. As far as the east is from the west. So if you bring your sins to the Lord Jesus Christ and you really repent of your sins, he'll wash them away. Just as if you have never sinned in your life. Justification blows my mind. Just as if you've never, ever, ever sinned. I read in Isaiah 55:1, Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. See, salvation is free, but it cost God his beloved Son. It's free. Now, all you have to do is bring your sins to Jesus, recognize that you are a sinner, and the Bible said we have all sinned. That's at me and you. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then invite him into your heart, and it's free. You see, friends, the gift that God is a gift given freely. The Holy Spirit of God will tug at your heart. You're tonight, you're not born again. You go to church, you pray, you read your Bible, but you know in your heart If you were to die tonight, you'd go to hell. Now, the Spirit of God is working on you right now. He's tugging at your heart, and you're saying, oh, I got to turn this guy off. Well, it won't do you good to turn off, because the Holy Spirit of God's going to keep tugging at your heart until you make a decision one way or another. You say yes or you say no. And I'll tell you something, dear friends. God does not force himself on you. If you want to reject him and go to hell, you can. Sure you can. He does not force his way into your heart. And the doorknob is on the inside, not the outside. So just remember that. The decision is yours. You have to make the decision where you want to spend eternity. Now listen to me, it says in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Beloved, the morning that I was saved, I was at the lowest point of my entire life. I'd been living in a denial. I'd been saying, well, someday this will go away. Someday I'll straighten up. But when the preacher presented the gospel to me and presented a story of Nicodemus and Jesus, confrontation they had, and then when he quoted John 3:16, it was like a flashlight in my heart. My mom, before she died, she used to read the Bible to me and my sister. And that was one thing, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have eternal life. He doesn't want you to perish. And I tell those men in prison, hey, did you know what? God loves you. We love you. We come down to tell you that if you want to go to heaven, you're going to have to repent. You're going to have to turn your back on the old way of life. Some of the greatest men and women I ever met in my life, dear friends, have been through the prisons. And let's close with this one. Revelation 22:17. The Spirit and the Bride said, come, and let him who hears say, come. Whosoever's thirsty, let him come, and whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Friends, are you ready tonight? Are you ready to turn your back on your old way of life and come to Christ as a little child? You say, Cecil, wait a minute. You're going too fast. No. The Spirit of God is tugging at your heart right now. You say, but Cecil, I've been going to church. I was raised in the church. Doesn't make any difference. If you've not been born again, you're lost, doomed and damned, and on the road to a devil's hell. And beloved, I don't want you to go there. I plead with you tonight. I beg with you. Come to Christ and get rid of your sins and find a new life. Oh, I tell you, the morning I come out of that preacher's home, I could have walked on the water. I could have whipped the devil and all of his angels because I was freed up. He delivered me from the curse of alcohol. If you're ready tonight, you want to trust Jesus, don't pray this unless you mean it. Here's how the prayer goes. Dear Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll come into my heart right now and save me for Jesus' sake. Amen. Beloved, if you prayed that prayer, get on the phone. Call 303-471-8534. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. If you feel I can help you, I won't use your name on the air. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I am concerned not where you go to church, but where you spend eternity. 303-471-8534.
What is going on, O Lord, in our world today? People trying to make us lose our way. Let us keep on looking up to you and remember what you said. As the ending of the book we read says we're going to be okay. The ending of that book, the ending of that book, it gives us so much hope and joy. The ending of that book, the ending of that book, you never read the book I'm referring to. Go get a Bible, my dear friend, to find out what is true. Freedom from your fears you'll find just to read it every day. So if you know the Lord your God, you're gonna be okay. The ending of that book, the ending of that book, it gives us so much hope and joy. The ending of that book, the ending of that book, it gives us so much hope and joy. If you never read the book I'm referring to, go get a Bible, my dear friend, to find out what is true. Freedom from your fears you'll find just to read it every day. So if you know the Lord your God, you're gonna be okay. The ending of that book, the ending of that book, gives us so much hope and joy. The ending of that book, the ending of that book, gives us so much hope and joy.
I need to give you my mailing address, Mo Evangelistic Association, 9621 South Burberry, Burberry Lane, Highlands Ranch, 80129. Friends, listen, you heard all the prisons that we have to go to. Now, some of those we have to stay all night because we have to be at prison at 7:30, and we can't drive from here 300 and some miles to a prison, so we have to stay in a motel. So it costs, there's six of us, and you know how many hundreds, $300 or $400 it costs for a trip. Now, people give their money to churches, and they should do that, and you should support your church, but I'll tell you right now, it would be well to pray about it. You know, one of my listening friends, bless her heart, faithfully she sends a check every month. She said she'd like to get a hold of one of this Martin that just played, one of his discs. And I said, I called Martin and I told him to get a hold of her. I don't sell records. I don't sell tapes. This is between the person that makes it. Now, if any of you people would like a tape of the New Grace Quartet or Bill Adelong's tapes or anything like that, please let me know, and I will be more than happy to put you in touch with the one that one that makes the tapes. Okay, I got to tell you something that happened real nice at the prison the other Sunday. We had a packed house, and I'm telling you, I'm not saying this to be funny, but every time the New Grace Quartet and MOVAC Association team goes in the prison, they pack the house. They really honestly do. And I think they don't come to hear me preach. They come to hear the quartet. But you would be surprised at people, the men that come up and hug our necks and shakes our hand and thanks us so much for coming down all that way to minister to them. Now, a woman asked me the other day, well, Cecil, now you talk about 20, 30, 40 people accepting Christ. What happens to those? Because you guys may not be back there for 2 months. All right. I brought that before the chaplain. I know the story. And the chaplain said, well, you tell that person that asked you that Monday morning there will be 3 or 4 Bible teachers come in, volunteers, come in there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. They have Bible courses. They give them Bibles. In fact, the matter is, friends, you may not know it, but some of those invites know more about the Bible than a lot of you listeners, even more than me. That's the truth. But anyway, this was the sweetest thing. This man walked up to me, said, "Cecil, do you remember me?" "Well, I see so many." I said, "No." He said, "Well, 2 years ago, you and the quartet and your wife was out at the Jefferson County Prison." He said, "I had just been given a 99-year prison sentence." And he said, "I was so low I could have crawled under a snake with fallen archers. And you came over and you sat down beside me because you knew something was wrong." And I said, "Son, what's the problem?" He said, "Well," he broke down. He said, "I've got 99 years. And he said, "And then you told me that God loved me, that Jesus died for my sins. And if I'd repent of my sins and receive him, he'd help me through these 99 years. I said, "Oh, yeah, now it's coming." "Well," he said, "you know what's happened since? They've knocked off 25 years of my sentence. My wife and I are back together. I'm the happiest I've ever been in my life. Now I'm going to court again, and they may knock off some more." Now, I don't promise those men and women that if they receive Christ, that they'll get special favor. I wouldn't dare do that because I have no way of knowing. But a lot of them have. After they received Christ, the Lord, and they started living for the Lord. Well, one time the quartet and I and my wife was down at the prison in Old Max. And this Afro-American guy walked up to me and shook hands with me. And I said, "Well, son, how you doing?" "Well," he said, "you know, in spite of it all, I still got 200 years on my sentence." But he said, "You know what, Cecil? I've got Jesus, and he promised he'd be with me through it all." And he said he has. And I've said this many times, I don't know how those men without Christ could stand what they go through without Jesus. Now, you know, they have Bible studies. They have prayer meetings in their cells. There's a lot of things going on that you never hear about. No one ever tells you about them. But we've seen them. And anyway, do make it a matter of prayer to sit down and say, "Lord, do you want us to help the Movang Association with their prison ministries?" And I don't want to be a beggar, and I'm not, but I'll tell you right now, friends, if we don't, we was going to be tough for us. It really is. But I know that, and you know what, I've said this so many times, and you've heard me say it. We're not asking you for great sums of money. I'd rather have five people send $5 a month prayed over to prison ministries than I would have someone send $500 and didn't pray for us. You say, "Cecil, you are crazy." Sure enough, no, I'm not. Because you see, if you pray and you invest in these inmates, you're going to receive a blessing too, just like we do. It's the most wonderful thing in the world. And I like Sunday when we got done to the prison, we went into the Pueblo, and we sat in this restaurant, we was having lunch, and we were going over the things that we've seen over these many, many years, and the hundreds of men and women that's come to Christ. I said, "You know, there'd be a lot of people would love to do what we're doing. But, you know, not everybody is called into that ministry. Not everyone is called. Anyway, please pray for us, because that is one of the most important things that you can do." Well, friends, for the past 29 minutes, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe, and I want to thank you, beloved, for listening. I've got a special prayer request, unspoken prayer, for my family. Please pray for them, will you? And do pray for my wife. You know, this real estate is gone to pieces again. They keep going up and keep going up in price.